Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on Monday afternoon at KZSU down in the basement studios. And I'm here joined once again. You're getting to be one of the most frequent guests on this show, Professor Joel Bainan, Professor of Middle Eastern History. Getting to be kind of famous and infamous, too. Spreading it out all over the media, Joel.
We try. It's always good to be here with you, Bert.
Thank you. It's great having you. And I'm just honored to be able to hang out with you on the radio. And you always bring great music, too. And of course, it's music from the Middle East, because that's your thing. And who'd you open up with today?
So that was Nancy Udrum from her album Ah Wanus, or Ah and a Half. The song's title is Sana Wara Sana, or Year After Year. The opening line of the lyrics is, years pass by one after another, and my heart still belongs to you. This is on the Rotana label. And Nancy Udrum is one of the three major heartthrob ladies of Lebanon these days. She was voted by Rotana magazine as the prettiest mom of 2009. So she's a very, very big deal.
Hmm. And you're really up on this stuff. You're sounding more and more like a DJ every day, too.
I'm trying.
And that's you are. Yeah, you're doing a great job. You've been training and getting all together. You got your demo tape together, and this is the week that we all apply for a show, and we're going to find out if and where you're going to fit in the slot. And,
that's right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be good to have you on a weekly basis down here playing Middle Eastern music. What do you got up next for the folks?
Okay, so if Nancy Udrum is the cutting edge of Arab pop music today, Umm Kulthum is the diva of the 20th century, unsurpassed. So we're going to hear a little bit of Umm Kulthum now.
Yeah.
coming back at you. And apparently, I'm not sure, but a caller called up and said they're hearing us on the antenna in Napa. And if that's true, God bless the airways, man, or our transmitter, or I don't know what. But here with Joel Bainan today, professor of Middle Eastern history. And Joe, that was older stuff, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Umm Kulsum, who passed away in 1975. Until her death, she gave one concert a month on a Thursday evening, and the entire Arab world came to a stop because she was broadcast live on Egyptian radio. People used to fly in from the Gulf, from all over the Arab world to attend her concerts in Cairo. Just an amazing, amazing set of events. And this was just a short little song. I mean, usually she would go on for 35, 40 minutes at least in one song, and she just had a tremendously powerful voice.
Did she play in do they have concert venues like here, like big stadiums?
Mm-hmm. She used to play in the Cairo Opera House, which actually burned down in 1972, and then a new concert hall has been rebuilt, bigger and better than ever before.
Mm-hmm. And do some of these artists appear outside as well, like we have kind of outside venues?
Yes, in fact, she toured around the Arab world, and she played a concert in Paris, and this record actually was produced in Paris as well.
Hmm. Very cool. Our guest today, Joel Bainan, professor of Middle Eastern history, and much more than that. We're going to get into some of that at the bottom of the hour, but covering some of this great music you brought today. Who do you got up next, Joel?
Okay, we're going to hear now two songs by Abdul Halim Hafiz, who represents the next generation after Umm Kulsum. We're doing a sort of tour of Egyptian music today.
Cool.
حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا اللي طوعتك كذاب كذاب حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك ليه تكذب عليا من اول معاد ده حرام القسي ليه تكذب عليا من اول معاد ده حرام القسي لو تطلب عينيا امشي لك بلاد واجيبهم هديه لو تطلب عيني امشي لك بلاد واجيبهم هدية وفيها ايه لو جيتني تسلم بس وتفوتني حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا اللي طوعتك كذاب كذاب حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك Thank you. انتظاري بين وهمي وناري وحيرة عيني طولت انتظاري بين وهمي وناري وحيرة عيني وإيه اللي يجرى لو توعدني مرة وتعطف علي وإيه اللي يجرى لو توعدني مرة وتعطف علي وفيها إيه لو جتني تسلم بس وتفوتني حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا الحق عليا اللي طوعتك كذاب كذاب حلو كذاب ليه صدقتك
الهوى هوايا
تدخل كتب الحكاوي والوزنينك غناوي ندخل كتب الحكاوي والوزنينك غناوي واعمل طبيب مداوي واشيل حب بدوايا انا الهوى هوايا هوايا عالفجر ابو ضحكة وردي عالعمر اللي ورايا
الهوى دوايا الهوى دوايا
الهوى هوايا انا الهوى هوايا لو ليام بعدوني صاحبي بنور عيوني لو ليام بعدوني صاحبي
Right. Middle Eastern music for your listening pleasure on this Monday afternoon with Professor Joel Bainan of the Middle Eastern History Studies here at Stanford. And Joel, speak about that. That was two in a row by the same artist, wasn't it?
Right. That was Abdul Halim Hafiz, who was the male heartthrob of the generation of the 1950s, 60s, and early 70s
in Egypt. You're reaching way back there, man.
Well, what I'm trying to do here is show some of the roots of modern Egyptian Arab music. So we began with Nancy Adram, who's very contemporary. That's a very recently released album, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
The last three that we heard, first Umm Kulsum, and now these two by Abdul Halim Hafiz. The last song was Al Hawa Hawaya, or The Love Is My Love, and the one before that, Hilwa Wa Kadab, You're Beautiful But You're a Liar.
That's how it translates?
That's how it translates.
I love it. That's great.
So he represents moving towards the mixture of modern Arabic music revived as it was in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, in the direction of where Nancy Adram eventually takes us to. And if we have another occasion, there are lots of others like Nancy Adram that I put on the radio.
Well, I got a feeling as of next week, you're probably going to have your own show and you won't need me anymore.
Well, I'll always need you, Bert.
Joel, every time I have you on, I like to touch on a different aspect of your work here at Stanford. And you're an activist. Is that a one accurate description of part of your work, not just here at Stanford, but you as a person? You're an activist, right?
I might think that's fair, yes.
Okay. And you, you from time to time, you I've heard you on KPFA, interviewed on the morning show. And I've also, I haven't been to one of the events, but Paul George features you over at Peninsula Peace and Justice, maybe quite often, or at least often enough. Or maybe not often enough, I don't know. But coming up on the Free Forum, it's a community. It's Paul George. It's Peninsula Peace and Justice TV show. And for the life of me, I guess it's it just says Free Forum Confronting Settlement Expansion. You're going to be on the Peninsula Peace and Justice TV show next week from tomorrow, April 6th. And why don't you speak a little bit about, you're going to be in conversation with Paul George. And you're going to go over there as your, speak about that a little bit.
Right. The rubric is confronting settlement expansion in East Jerusalem. And this is based on a recent trip I took over to Israel and Palestine during the winter break and a couple of articles that I published about the situation there shortly afterwards, one in The Nation and one in Middle East Report Online. And basically what's been happening is that not only has the Netanyahu government in Israel not accepted the Obama administration's demand for a total freeze in establishing new settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, but it has gone ahead full force with establishing new settlements, and particularly in East Jerusalem. So not only did we hear when Vice President Biden was over there an announcement that there are going to be 1,600 new housing units set up in Ramat Shlomo, which is occupied territory north of the city of Jerusalem, but now also Irving Moskowitz, American Jewish billionaire doctor who's made lots of investments and land purchases in East Jerusalem, has bought the Shepherd Hotel in Sheikh Jarrah, which is one of the neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, which until recently it was inhabited largely by Palestinian refugees from 1948. But the Jerusalem Council has approved that he can buy that hotel, knock it down, and put up a new apartment building, which is going to have 100 housing units in it. So the Netanyahu government is just going full steam ahead with all of this.
And you're going to be in conversation with Paul George next Tuesday on the at the Community Media Center. And that's a TV show, a cable access TV show that Peninsula Peace and Justice does once a month. And it's open to the public. People can come down and be part of the studio audience, or they can watch it live on Peninsula Cable. And you could go on peaceandjustice.org to find out all the information on that. Or they can probably... Do you got a website, Joel?
I don't have a personal website where I put all this, but anybody who wants to know about it, just shoot me an email. It's Beinin, B-E-I-N-I-N, at stanford.edu.
Perfect. Great. I enjoy all your work here, especially when you come down and play music, because I don't get to hear this music too often.
Well, that's actually my point, that here is a very rich culture. Here's an aspect of it that very few Americans are exposed to. And I really believe that if you hear the music and if you can connect with the music, and not everybody can connect with all of the music, but that's the way it is almost for any style of music. But if you can connect with the music, then you then have to acknowledge that, that these are people, and you can't just write them off as terrorists or America haters or all sorts of things that are said in certain circles in this country. I mean, we might not agree with them about this or that, and they might not agree with us, but this is a people, and here's their culture.
Music has that way of doing bridging gaps in cultures, doesn't it?
I think so, yes. I mean, I have to say, it took me some effort to learn how to appreciate this music. I mean, this goes back many, many years when I shared an apartment in Cairo with some Egyptian friends, and basically sat them down one day and said, okay, teach me about this music, because it's around me and I don't really understand it. And who do I have to go out and buy, and how do I listen to it, and what's it about? And that's when my education began.
Hmm. And you're Jewish, and you lived in Egypt, and apparently, well, you didn't have any problem living there, did you?
No, being Jewish per se is really not a problem in Egypt. That's not to say that there isn't a lot of anti-Semitism in certain circles in Egypt. There is. But you don't run into it personally unless you go looking for it.
Hmm. Very cool. Joel Bainan, our guest for the hour. What do we got up next, Joel?
Okay, so we're going to hear now two relatively recent remakes of Abd al-Halim Hafez, who we just heard before. And first up is Natasha Atlas from her album Halim, which is entirely dedicated to Abd al-Halim Hafez.
Cool.
Show. واشتقنا عذابك والقدم وعيفك ترجع تاني في الأرض الدنيا
Professor Joel Bainan playing the Middle Eastern music. And you might be able to hear this music once a week, and we'll let you know more about that if when Joel finds out when his show is going to be on, and we'll know that next week. But Joel, you want to speak a little bit more about that?
Sure. That last piece was by the Trio Gibran, three Palestinian oud players from Nazareth, Israel. The album is called Randana, and the song is Ahwak, or I Love You. It's a song that was written for Abdul Halim Hafiz, who we heard before, and they sang it live for an audience in Ramallah. And they don't usually sing at all, but this song is a real classic of the Arabic vocal repertoire. So as far as I know, this is the only recording of them singing anything. And before that, we heard Natasha Atlas. Natasha Atlas was born in Belgium, but her father is an Egyptian Jew, and she grew up in a neighborhood of Brussels where many Arabs and Muslims were living, and she heard a lot of Arabic music and got into it. And this is her second or third album called Halim, which she dedicates to Abdul Halim Hafiz. The song is Keda, or Like This. And this is actually not a song that Abdul Halim sang, but it's one of several that she sings inspired by his music.
Well, if that's not multicultural, I don't know what is. The world just getting so not mixed up at all. It's just multicultural. It's all kind of bleeding together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I really like about this music. There is, I don't think in any kind of music, something that is pure and essentially belonging to one culture or another. But especially Middle Eastern music of the last 20, 30 years, you've got all sorts of mixtures going on in there, and a lot of creativity in combining different styles.
A lot of cross-pollination, huh?
Yeah.
You mentioned when you started that back announce, you said Nazareth, Israel. Before 1948, what would it have been referred to as?
It would have been Nazareth, Palestine, of course, because from 1922 until 1948, Palestine was ruled by the British Empire as a mandate, which was a term meant to disguise colonial rule. It was essentially a colony of the British Empire. And Nazareth was one of the bigger cities with an Arab population, an all-Arab population. And for that reason, when the United Nations decided to partition Palestine into an Arab state and a Jewish state, Nazareth was originally supposed to be part of the Arab state, but it, along with many other territories, were conquered by the Israeli army in the war that ensued after the British left. And today, Nazareth is part of the state of Israel.
And before 1922, before the British went in, what was it called? Nazareth, what?
It would have been called Nazareth in the sub-province of Nablus in the province of Damascus of the Ottoman Empire.
Okay. All right. So, wow, it's kind of morphed over the years. Funny how just different regimes move in and the names change, but a lot of the characters remain the same, don't they?
This part of the world has seen a lot of conquerors coming and going, and there are many, many layers of culture and tradition there, and none of it belongs exclusively to one group of people, even though there are many claims like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, recently I thought about where we live right here in the Bay Area, and Spanish landlords moved in here coming up the coast from what was Mexico, what is Mexico now. The Spanish conquered that and moved their way up conquered the Native Americans, and they lived here for 250 years before any white people came in. Well, not white, any Europeans. Well, Spanish Europeans too. Anyway, from any English speaking people showed up. They were here 250 years. Now we've been here about 250 years. We being English speaking European descendants, and it's so funny to think that. Those Spanish folks that were here 250 years thought, they probably thought, we'll be here forever. And we've been here for generations and generations and generations. I can go back to my great-great-great-great-grandfather. And they were basically kind of asked to leave or kind of pushed out of the way. Some stayed, but they kind of had to mix with the English-speaking European natives. And it's so funny to think that, hey, maybe our way, the way we, you know, our existence here, could change like that too, because after 250 years, you're not guaranteed that you're going to live on in perpetuity, right?
That's right. And in fact, California is actually even more complex demographically than that, because if you go up to the north coast of California, you'll find still today buildings that were constructed by Russian whalers who used the coast of Northern California as whaling stations when the whaling industry was big in the 19th century. And of course, since the late 19th and early 20th century, there's been a huge influx of Chinese and others from East and Southeast Asia into California. So that's now become a major population group in the state, especially in and around San Jose, lots and lots of Vietnamese. So California is not white people's territory anymore.
Yeah, and I personally don't have a problem with that. I think it's kind of cool that thinking of myself as being from a place that's so multicultural. And when I hear different commentators, I don't even want to mention any names, but on the news talk about, you know, breaking it down like a we and us and them and those people. And it just seems like, it just seems so strange that anybody would think that they own any of this. We're just all visitors here, right?
That's right. The Native Americans have, an excellent attitude, which is that nobody can own the land. You can live on the land, you can work the land, but you can't own the land. And I think if more people had that view of things, there'd be a lot less conflict in the world.
Amen. Professor Joel Bain has been our guest for the hour. Well, Joel, radio time goes like dog years, man, real fast.
It sure does.
And it's been great having you on again. And I'm going to have the producer of the show, Blue, book you on again after you get your show, and we can help promote your show that way too. But we'll definitely be letting people know, and people can go on the website after next week on the KZSU website and find out when your show is going to be. What are we going to go out with today?
Let's go out like we began with Nancy Odrum. We did a little tour through some of the more classical modern Arab vocalists, and now we'll end up with Nancy again.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Joel. You stay in touch.
You're welcome, Bart. Always good to be here.
Thank you.
فيا